discuss this wonderful world of video games and the news that comes with it. We go through rumors, reviews, everything with a super blunt perspective. So if you're listening for the first time, that's what you can expect. If you're returning, thank you so much for returning and listening to us. Appreciate that a lot. You can find us on YouTube. We post other videos as well as the video version of the podcast is up every single week. And we go live on YouTube and Twitch every single Thursday and at Friday, early morning. Very early morning, we always post the audio version of the podcast. And so we've been doing it for a good amount of time, and we have fun with it. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Diggity Podcast. And with that, I did my duties. What have you been playing?
So I touched a little bit of Monster Hunter Stories 2. Mainly, I play that game because I can pause it when we finally find an Overwatch game. So I'll play it in between match queues. I played a little bit of Pokemon Unite. I'm kind of starting to, I think I burnt myself out on it a little bit, so I'm slowing down. I started SteamWorld Dig 2 last night, which I was I was really enjoying it. So I really enjoyed the first one, kind of held off on getting the second one.
Sure.
I think it was on Game Pass, and I didn't remember that until after I bought it last night, but it was like, it's like $8. I mean, it goes on sale all the time, but it's fantastic. It's absolutely addicting too.
Yeah.
And still been playing quite a bit of Monster Hunter Rise. How about you?
Damn. I played a little bit of City Skylines. That's like my little, like, get like 20 minutes in game or whatever and just pick away at something. You know what I mean? I'm still like into a new job. So I'm 2 weeks into a new job. So I've been pretty bunged up with stuff, but I have been able to play a good amount of Overwatch with you.
Yeah.
And yeah, we played quite a mean, bit. Shit, we got 2 skins out of the Summer Games, festival or challenge or season or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, we've been, in Elo Hell where we've
absolutely
just been, you know, grinding, trying to get out of what is definitely a hellish landscape of people that we play with.
It sure as hell is.
Overwatch. And I mean, we even did it. We're like, hey, let's go open queue so we can play damage and other stuff. And nope, can't do that.
It hurts. It hurts to play sometimes.
It hurts.
It's weird because, like, we were doing our trying to get that Hanzo skin and do the summer deal where you got to win, like, what? Or you got to play, like, 36 games or whatever it is. It's crazy. Or it's, like, 27 or something.
And then what? Like, a win counts as 2?
Yeah,
then,
it counts as 2.
Which we didn't win
and
one.
So that last day, we were trying to knock those out, and we were playing, and we killed it the entire time. We won, like, 4 or 5 games straight, finished up, got our Hanzo skin. Immediately after that, we proceeded to get our ass kicked for, like, 4 games and just... Yeah, I need to go to bed. You're like, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm done. But it's over.
It's crazy.
It's over. Yeah, so I mean that's what I've been digging into. I mean nothing really crazy. I want to my quest continues to try to get all the trophies in Adventure Capitalist. But that's a shameful
thing. There.
Almost, dude. It's hard though, dude. Once you start getting to a certain point, I'm at the point where like I just have to let it like sit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To gain stuff, which is nice because it does sit over time. Like, I don't have to have my PlayStation on.
Man. I forgot
We're expecting to play Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
we just
coming up
on PlayStation. Because, you know, 150 million copies isn't enough. So here's, you know, 2 more.
Yeah, and Grand Theft Auto comes up later in our podcast.
Sure it
so
does. It even made it to the title. Forgot something I was playing. So I got into the Final Fantasy VII Remake DLC, the interlude DLC.
Yeah,
I've got about three and a half hours into that, and pretty much all of it has been spent playing the Fort Condor mini game in it because I'm trying to finish that out. Which is the last match here is painful. It is hard as hell. But so far I'm really enjoying it, even though I haven't really done any of the actual story shit. I've just been doing some of the side stuff and but it's still fun. Sorry to circle back. I totally forgot about it until I started scrolling
down
through stuff.
No, that's great. So I'm with some news, guys. So we had the Nintendo Indie World Showcase, and it was something. So we'll go quickly through the stuff here. But basically, we got to see a look at Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, which is a great name. And also, I thought originally it was going to be like a shit on Cyberpunk, but no,
yeah.
Not really. So someone got sick of waiting for a new Jet Set Radio, basically. So they made their own, which is awesome. That's cool. It'll be a timed console exclusive for the Switch in 2022 is the date we got for that. We got to look at, is it Toem or Tome?
Unclear.
Okay, we're going to say Tome.
Tome?
Yeah, so we got to look at Tome, which is a photo adventure. It's a laid-back adventure that lets you explore tiny worlds in a simplistic sketched world. That's going to be releasing this fall. That's on Switch, obviously. We got to look at Loop Hero, which is a pixel art game that allows you to create the game for a hero by placing cards to create the gameplay loop. Really cool idea. Really like this a lot. That's coming this holiday. We got to look at Far, Changing Tides, which is a side-scrolling adventure game set in a post-apocalyptic world that has been flooded. That's releasing early 2022. There's a theme here. Obviously, we're like, I can't believe we're over halfway through the year. It's wild, bro.
Yeah, we're closer to next year. I mean,
yeah,
we're
it's crazy.
Almost halfway through August
now. We're like 4 months from Christmas almost.
It's crazy.
That's scary.
Crazy.
Then we got to look at that Necro Barista Final Pour. Fantastic title. This is a remastered version of Necro Barista that adds some additional content and features. It's available now as a timed console exclusive. That's a classic indie showcase move right there. Mm-hmm. Available now. And some previously featured games that are available now were also shown. So you got Garden Story, which is similar to a Stardew Valley type game where you play as a grape, which is incredible. Jason Schreier would love that. Boyfriend Dungeon, which is a dating simulator where you date your weapons and fight through dungeons. And Axiom Verge 2, which is a pixel art Metroidvania style game. We got to look at Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. This is really cool. So this is part dungeon crawler and part puzzle crawler that features both single player and multiplayer. That's coming this holiday. So it's really cool to see the Shovel Knight IP expand like that.
Yeah.
We got to look at Islanders Console Editions, which is a relaxing city building game set in small biomes that is available now as a timed console exclusive. I would say to people, go check out like the eShop, but it's confusing. Yeah. We gotta look at Metal Slug.
A bunch of these would be right up front in the eShop, but probably not.
Right, yeah. We gotta look at Metal Slug Tactics, which is a strategy game set in the Metal Slug world, obviously. And that's releasing sometime next year. We got Tetris Effect Connected. So this offers both a single player and a co-op multiplayer experience that supports crossplay, and that's also launching. Sorry, that's not also, but that is launching in October 8th. We got to look at Rapid Fire Montage,
it wasn't actually a game. It was just a rapid fire montage of like four or five games here.
Oh, okay. So then we got a rapid fire montage, which Brody graciously looked through and picked up because they give like 5 seconds for each game, if not less.
I did Google most of this to figure out when it was coming and stuff because they give you no information ever. I hate it.
So we got to look at Astroneer, which is a sandbox adventure game in space. This is coming January 2022. 100 Days Winemaking Simulator. it's exactly what it sounds like, and it's launching later this year. Slime Rancher, Portable Edition, the special Switch version of a beloved game, and it's available now.
I'm sorry, Jeff. That was the
Plortable. Yeah.
Whatever the fuck that means.
And then we got one of my favorite games, Lumberjack. It's a game about saving the environment by destroying man-made objects to return them to your formal glory. This is coming next year. You play as a bear. What's not to love? Curious Expedition 2 is a single-player RPG with some survival elements that's available now. And then Gang Beasts, the weird physics game. It's going to be launching this fall on the Switch. Gang Beasts is a good time.
Gang Beasts is a lot of fun.
Very good.
Especially
time.
For
and
a
then
party game.
Eastward, which is an isometric dungeon crawling adventure game and a timed console exclusive coming September 16th to Nintendo Switch. And that is it. That's it. Only that.
That's it. That's all of it.
So what's your highlights quickly on this before we kind of skip on to the other section?
I want to check out Axiom Verge 2. I'm hearing really, really good things. I've seen some perfect scores, some 9 out of 10s. I never played the first one, so maybe I'll go back and do that at some point. But because I was kind of burnt out on pixel games, but I haven't played one for a while, so why not? Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. I miss Jet Set Radio, man. I'm kind of excited for that. I'll check it out. Islanders Console Edition. I actually want to check this out as well because I like the city builder type game, but this is like in a smaller biome, so you're not playing for, you know, 900 days straight on the same world type of thing. Tetris Effect Connected, absolutely stoked for that. I really, really want to get into that. And Eastward looks really cool for what it is. It's coming from Chucklefish, which there's some questionable things there, but it's being published by Chucklefish, so the developers look like they did a really good job with this. So cool.
Sweet. I'm looking forward, obviously, to Lumberjack. That's fantastic. Game Beasts, I'm intrigued by because I don't know how well that's going to play on a Switch. Not graphically, of course.
But shit on the Xbox. So
yeah, the control wise, I don't know if it's really going to play. But yeah, performance wise too, it's not the most stable of games.
Certainly not.
Tetris Effect. I'm always interested in playing a Tetris game after playing Tetris 99 and being like, "That's dumb. Why would I ever play Tetris?" And I was like, "Wow, this is fantastic.
I love Tetris."
Yeah. Metal Slug Tactics is really cool. I really like Loop Hero. One, yeah. I'm usually not a big pixel art fan because, like what you said, it's kind of been overused in a lot of ways. But to use a playing cards to create the gameplay loop, like you're kind of creating your own game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really, really cool. I really like that mechanic. I think that's really neat and it's unique. So that's kind of what stood out. And then Shovel Knight, just expanding the IP into different kinds of games. That's really neat to see and cool. I think they could really establish that character into, you know, even bigger than what he is now. So
yeah, I skipped right over Metal Slug Tactics, but I mean, if you've listened to us before, that is clearly a game that is just right up my alley.
Yep.
So cool. So we've got some Call of Duty Vanguard leaks. So there's been quite a few pretty substantial and believable leaks about this year's upcoming COD. So first up, there is supposedly a reveal event that is going to take place on August 19th, as well as an alpha that should be beginning very soon. So some of the feature rumors are there's going to be 24 multiplayer maps, which seems crazy because I'm pretty sure the last one launched with like 8. It was incredibly small amount of maps, so definitely cool to see these. I'm sure half of them are remade maps, but 12 of these are going to be for 6v6 modes. There's going to be dynamic weather in the multiplayer, historically accurate campaign, which it's World War II, and I guess there's no like censorship on like swastikas and all that stuff because that's kind of been a topic as of late. So supposedly everything's supposed to be fucking accurate. We'll see.
Boy, can't wait for the people to yell about that one.
Yeah. A zombies mode developed by Treyarch that is a continuation of the Dark Aether story in Cold War. So that's kind of cool. Skill-based matchmaking to remain unchanged from Cold War, which a lot of people are upset about because skill-based matchmaking, it's good and bad all at the same time. It's kind of one of those things that make it less enjoyable for some people, but whatever. So these leaks have come from multiple sources, some of which that have great track records, such as the Ghost of Hope and Tom Henderson. Henderson reported to have gotten a notice from Activision to remove Vanguard tweets from his Twitter page as well. So sounds like he hit a nerve.
That's
a little
like
bit.
The last thing you probably want to do as a business.
Yeah. Yeah, that just validates the whole fucking thing and just makes
really
you look like
move.
An ass.
Pretty dumb move.
So there's also logo and key art, as well as game editions making the rounds on the internet that were mined from the most recent Cold War update. The three editions will follow the same scheme as Cold War, which is a standard edition, a cross-gen edition, and an ultimate edition. And one of the key arts also advertises an open beta, as well as pre-order bonuses. So I would fully assume most of this is spot on. The maps seem like there might be a little bit too much there, and the dynamic weather, I mean, sure, we've never really seen that much in a COD game, so cool, but it's also interesting to see kind of Treyarch making a zombies game for, because I believe this is, it's not Treyarch's year to make it. So I think this is the Raven Software. Ravencroft, whatever the hell it is. I can't remember at the moment, but cool. I mean, I'm not planning on picking this up. I'm definitely going to be all in on Battlefield this year. So
I was going to say
Battlefield and Halo. I mean,
yeah. Do you think that they're feeling
the heat? My multiplayer landscape is definitely taking over right now.
Do you think they're feeling the heat on Battlefield, and that's why they're like 24 maps? I mean, obviously, none of this is all rumors. This is not legit.
Right.
I mean, they could be 24 maps, like over the lifespan of the.
And it even says only 12 of them are, you know, 6v6 mode. So the rest of them are going to be like weird stuff, like your 2v2 matches, your 3v3 matches, stuff like that. I don't know
which
if they're necessarily
amalgamate a bunch too.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if they're necessarily feeling the heat based off of Battlefield coming out this year. It's kind of a similar market, but a different market all at the same time. Like Battlefield tends to be a little bit more niche compared to Call of Duty that just sells absolutely gangbusters, because a lot of people that don't even really play games will at least play Call of Duty and Madden and stuff like that. So I don't know if they're necessarily feeling heat. I mean, they've got enough stuff on their plate right now anyway.
I mean, I don't think it's like I think they're a little worried about it. Cause like, if you look at, like, I get your point.
Yeah.
But if you also look at Call of Duty's morphed a lot more to the way of Battlefield.
Yeah.
Over the last two, three iterations, it's slowly become bigger maps.
They do the Battle Royale stuff.
Like the free to play aspect of it, like Warzone, right? I mean, that would stand up against a Battlefield back in the day, gen or two ago. So, I mean, there's all those people that play that. And so, I don't know. I think Battlefield's going to wreck stuff, but we also got to be careful because we've been let down by that team a good amount before. But hopefully things are figured out. Well, I mean, two years ago, you and I were like so pumped for Battlefield, the last one that came out. We're like, Battlefield 5, oh my God, this is going to be great. And we played it. We're like, we don't like this.
Yeah. But a lot of we'll definitely see. It's just kind of, that was 3 years ago, 2018. Yeah. I was curious when that came out. I don't know. Like I said, I think I'm going to be preoccupied with other multiplayer games. I mean, hopefully Halo actually does launch this holiday season, which I think it will. But we'll see. Like I said, I say that with Call of Duty often, and I end up buying it and then hating my life while playing it and still play it anyway. But, you know, it's a vicious cycle sometimes.
It's the way it go, dude.
Well, I really liked Modern Warfare, but I mean, the Black Ops series is really the one that's let me down the most. I just can't get into them. Like, I enjoyed the zombies and stuff like that, but that was really about it. I don't know.
I agree. Moving on from the Call of Duty news. So we've got the PlayStation Store's top downloads for July. We'd like to share this because it gets people. I mean, sometimes people might hear a game and they might be like, wow, I haven't heard about that, or I'm going to try that out. Or they might, you know, this might be the tipping point for someone to be like, I'm going to go try that online game out now that I know there's a shit ton of people playing it, right?
I find it fascinating too, personally.
Yeah, I also find it fascinating.
And it's my show. I'll do what I damn well please.
Can I just do the US and Canada, or do you want me to do the EU as well?
You can just do US and Canada.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right. So for PS5, the top games were FIFA 21, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, NBA 2K21 Next Generation came in third. In fourth was Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart. That should be like number one. Go play that, please. Number five was Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. Number six was Tribes of Midgard. Nice. Number seven, F1 21. And number eight, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, followed by number nine, Demon's Souls. And number 10, MLB The Show 21. So FIFA, huge moneymaker on there. For your PS4 games, number one, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Jesus.
Number two, NBA 2K21. Number three, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. Number four was Minecraft. Number five was Red Dead Redemption 2. That's awesome to see. Number six was The Crew 2. Number seven was Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Number eight was UFC 4. Number nine was FIFA 21. And number 10 was Friday the 13th, The Game, which is surprising to me. I did not expect Friday the 13th, the game, to be in the top 10 still. That's
some people really like that multiplayer.
They do.
I'm surprised to see the Crew 2 here, honestly. And I think the only reason it is here is because it was heavily discounted.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I've thought about picking that game up before, but I remember playing the first one and the driving.
It's a lackluster Forza Horizon.
Yeah. I mean, you can do cooler things like they have the motorcycles, they have like the planes and stuff like that, but the driving is rough.
Well, and that's Ubisoft, correct? The Crew?
Yes.
So the problem I have with that too is that like Ubisoft, I think, makes really gorgeous looking games. However, they have a problem with realism in a lot of their games where there's like just something about either the character or the environment that is like just a little bit off where you're like, this is a video game. And I think it's done on purpose. I mean, I would assume so. But like you know what I mean? Like you jump into like a GTA and you're like, I feel like I'm in a real city. And you jump into a city in Ubisoft and you're like, okay. There's a little bit of cartoony stuff here and there and like, or things are rounded. They're not as, you know, sharp edges and stuff like that. Anyways, moving on, your top PSVR games. No surprise. Number one is Beat Saber. Number two is Job Simulator. Number three is Sniper Elite VR. Number four is The Elder Scrolls five. Skyrim VR. Skyrim. I hate Roman numerals, bro. And number five, Super Hot VR. So,
this list hardly ever changes, but I included it anyway.
Beat Saber is like number one on every.
They actually, on top of this too, for the PS5 games and PS4 games, they listed out to like the top 25 games, and I just cut it at 10. I'm like, this is good. Crazy.
And then your top free-to-play games, this is both PS5 and PS4, are Splitgate at number one, number two, Fortnite, number three, Call of Duty Warzone, number four, Genshin Impact, and number five, Rocket League.
So Splitgate's an interesting one. It launched on Steam and Early Access like 2 or 3 years ago and has been around, but it's now that it's launching on consoles, it's picking up a lot of traction again. It's pretty impressive. So
crazy.
Kind of cool. Now, this is pretty interesting. There's not too much that's shock. I mean, Minecraft and PS4 is just still holding out the number four spot is incredible. That's just insane. But really, I mean, for the most part, it's about what I expected. I mean, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is still in there too.
With Fortnite being number two, that's pretty crazy considering like all the events they've done over the last month and couple months.
Yeah, I
your boys imagine, like, starting to like get away from Fortnite, or are they all in still?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, they bounce, but I mean, the typical bounce between Fortnite and Roblox, right? Like,
oh God,
it's rough. But I would imagine that at this point, most people have Fortnite. I mean, I would think if you're gonna have it, you probably have it.
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
but even then, still holding out the number two spot for most downloads is kind of impressive.
It is.
That game just keeps on going, man. Just keeps.
I mean, it's
just
random. Like, it's not. There's nothing. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean this in a bad way. I think it's brilliant, but it's like, there's what is really Fortnite? I mean, we just had an event with Ariana Grande flying around.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd
and
watch.
There was
it twice.
Nothing to it other than like being able to be a skin that you can buy for like 10 minutes to then be like, I need that skin.
Yeah, it's so. They've. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, fucking
brilliant.
Killing it. Just absolutely destroying it. So we've got some rumors this week, and we'll probably talk about these as we go because they're some of them are somewhat substantial. So there is a rumor that there will be a PlayStation State of Play on August 19th, despite other rumors stating it had actually been pushed to September. It is worth noting that supposedly this State of Play was supposed to be announced on the 10th. This is according to the same leaker that said it will be on the 19th.
Okay.
So it's looking unlikely right now, but this State of Play was to feature the official confirmation of Horizon Forbidden West being delayed alongside some new gameplay, which, I mean, it's already been officially announced, but fair enough. An extended look at Kena Bridge of Spirits, an update on Gran Turismo, and some sort of a surprise announcement.
A new color of PlayStation.
Maybe you can buy like red plates or whatever now. I don't know. this is probably unlikely, I would assume. I think at this point, I would think we're going to see it in September. PlayStation usually will September? Tell us about...
I'm worried about September because Apple is going to do something in September.
Yeah, but it's a different market to some extent. Yeah. I mean...
But everybody tries to stay away from their shit, bro.
Yeah, but I PlayStation should be able to go out there and be like, hey, we have a state of play, and Apple can do their own fucking thing.
What I am getting worried about is I feel like the state of play is not going to be as big as what people think.
They never are.
I know, but like...
Get their hopes up every time.
Well, people are hyped and hoped up because, E3, obviously, right? We never saw anything. So people are like, oh, this is the big one.
Ever since the beginning of these state of plays, like, everybody gets so hyped for them. And then after it, they're like, this sucked. It was a small show. They didn't show all of the games that's coming out for the next 16 years. And you're like, no, they focus on one game, show off some indie games, fucking wrap it up. Let's go. Done.
Yeah.
I don't know. One day you would think they would learn the rhythm of this, but they really don't. It's impressive. So cool. I imagine, like I said, I bet we'll see it September. From Software has supposedly teamed up with PlayStation again to make another exclusive Souls-like game. So maybe Bloodborne 2 for all of you Bloodborne fans, which there's a lot of. And here's the probably one of the biggest things from this entire show that I shoved into a little tiny rumor section. But anyway, the GTA Remastered trilogy is supposedly in the works and will even make its way to the Nintendo Switch somehow. Wouldn't recommend playing it there, but it'll
probably be like playing
there.
The originals by the time it gets on the Switch.
Yeah, absolutely. To add some validity to the rumor, Take-Two has been using DMCA takedowns to remove GTA mods for these classic games, and they also confirmed that there are 3 remastered games in development by Rockstar. So, highly likely, I would assume. And right now, we don't know what this trilogy is. I highly doubt it's going to be 1 and 2. I think it's probably going to be 3, San Andreas, and what's the one I'm forgetting, Jeff?
Vice City.
Thank you. And Vice City. And so I assume that's going to be the 3 that we're getting remastered. But
I would say those are the 3. I think it's going to be San Andreas... 4 and Vice City. And the only reason I say that is because I think it wouldn't take that much in 4 to remaster it using the engine that they're going to use.
That's fair.
I don't know. I feel like that.
I don't know if it would be worth it, though. I mean, 4 is probably still somewhat playable. I mean, if you really wanted to, whereas San Andreas, Vice City, and 3, especially 3, has aged. I mean, pretty poorly, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like when they build a game like a Grand Theft Auto 5, right, they're building a library of so many art assets and models that they can rebuild the city and stitch it together. My only thought was, like, if you wanted an easier route, you would throw 4 in there. Because to your point, 3 would be fucking crazy. I mean, you just rebuild the game.
Yeah, it'd be pretty much entirely rebuilt. Or
you could get away with a bunch of like up-resing some stuff at a higher level that like the player can't see and then focus more details on the ground and shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, they could essentially rip assets from whatever they do to Vice City and San Andreas though too. So if they're, I mean, that's all, true. If they, whatever they do with these, I imagine there's going to be a lot of assets that are reused, maybe repurposed slightly or whatever, but I think that they should be able to use a lot of what they have there as the base level for it.
And then something else that tells me that it might be 3, 4, and San Andreas, because there's the rumor mill that GTA 6 is Vice City based.
All the more reason to put out something Vice City based, though.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I would just, maybe. I really want 4 because I want that New York vibe.
Yeah.
I mean, like, five doesn't give
four, though. Like,
five doesn't give city vibes. You know, it gives you California vibes for sure. Obviously, like it should.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And obviously, San Andreas gives you that same feel. And you know, Vice City is cool because it's Miami,
right?
But it's going to be old Miami,
yeah.
And I'd be interesting. Vice City was a pretty small map,
right?
It wasn't massive, so. But I mean, people will enjoy it. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I'm stoked for this. Any remaster that we can get would be fantastic. What I would love to see is like a Rockstar Hits, and we get like a Bully.
Yeah.
We get Red Dead remastered.
Red Dead remastered.
And I think that makes a lot more sense, to be honest with you. Like a San Andreas, a Bully, and a Red Dead. You've got, you know, San Andreas, huge hit. It's probably the most popular Grand Theft Auto, one of the ones that introduced people to it mainly, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then Bully's fantastic, but it also is kind of niche. A lot of people haven't played it. But Red Dead being like remastered makes sense to me, like great, because there's so many people that never played the first one.
Yeah, if they were doing a remastered trilogy, though, I think it makes more sense for GTA just to save time for the assets.
No, I agree. I just want something.
I would love to see a remastered Red Dead, but I think if they were going to do it, I think it would almost be a full price game, if not a full price game.
Well, yeah, if they remastered it, I would love to see them just rebuild the whole damn thing.
Oh, absolutely.
With the graphics that we have, it'd be great.
I'd pay for that, too, because it's rough to try to go back and play the original right now. Yes,
it very much is.
And Bully, I mean, Bully, I really like Bully, but I think I would have a little bit of a hard time paying full price for Bully personally.
I agree. Yeah,
it's a great game, but
I could
see it like a, you know, $30-$40 type of deal.
$40, yeah, $40 remastered, because it's not a big game, but
no,
yeah, I mean, just the fact that we could get 3 Grand Theft Auto titles for $60-$70 is crazy.
Yeah, and I hope that is what it is, but I mean, we'll see, right?
They could also be like, well, could be. They could say trilogy, and then they could also be like, hey, you can buy but each one individually.
Yeah, right. And I 100% can see that.
I could
happening,
see that 100%, so. Where it's like, hey, so you can purchase whichever one you want, but they're all remastered, and we'll be releasing Vice City in Q1, San Andreas in Q3, and you know, GTA 3 in Q4 or something like that.
Regardless, I am excited for something
too.
GTA related, because now that we just bought it on PlayStation, I'm considering playing through the story again.
Oh, I am
it's
too.
It's been a while. But I kind of want to wait until they do that
yeah, I
PS5
think I'm
version.
Going to do a little bit of the story and then kind of like fuck around really just in the world. And then, yeah, because what is September when the update?
I was thinking it was November, but
was it November? It could have been out farther. Yeah, use the Google machine.
Maybe
on
it
that
was
one.
September.
But yeah, then when that upgrade comes out, yeah, I'm absolutely going to do the story again, because the graphics can be great. It's going to be wonderful. What you
November
got?
11th.
Okay. Cool. So November. Yeah. So I'll mess around with it. I'll probably play online a good amount.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about jumping back into that for a while. And they just did that whole update. New like tuners update and everything. Mm-hmm. So that'd be
Well, they
cool
got another
to
update
out.
Too. They got a sweet new plane in there.
Yeah.
Like red.
Yeah, I'll
plane.
Definitely probably check it out, especially with that that GTA cash you get, you know? Like Make it's a like $1 million a month or something, which doesn't go very far, but still.
Yeah. But yeah,
GTA,
I mean, we get it for
online.
Free with PS Plus. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, go get that. Go to subscriptions, go to add-ons in the store, and then you'll get like special add-ons where, like what Brody said, you get $1 million a month, which is fantastic because you need money in the game.
Yeah, and it takes a while to earn money in that game. Cool. Also, we have one more thing in the rumor mill here. So Sony is planning to add Crunchyroll into a more expensive version of PlayStation Plus, which is honestly a fantastic move by Sony, because they
and
just
Sony
bought out
just,
Crunchyroll too.
Yeah, not only did they buy Crunchyroll, Funimation is now part of Crunchyroll as well. So
I guess
Sony,
Crunchyroll's been a part of Sony for a while, but they just bought out Funimation. That's the one, right?
And so now Sony owns like basically all of anime. Or most of the like all of the anime that like the Western world sees, right?
So. Yeah, and Funimation is one of the big like reasons that we even have like Western or English dubs, I guess, is kind of
yeah.
a big thing that they've been
This
behind,
is fantastic. So. I think this is a smarter route, honestly, than Game Pass on the Xbox side.
For this market, absolutely. I mean, anime is at an all-time high of popularity right now.
Yeah, and also you can see, like, even them giving, like a rotating suite of services that come in. Like, right now we've got Apple TV Plus for 6 months. That's big.
Yeah.
That's a $60 value for free.
Right.
No, more, less than that, 30, because it's $5 a month or something like that.
Yeah.
For Apple TV Plus. But yeah, I mean, like to have these services, you know, obviously Apple TV loves it because they can get subscribers on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But second to that, it's like as a PlayStation Plus member, I'd be like, that's cool. I can try that out. And then, like you said, this is going to be a little bit more, but it's going to be a discount.
Yeah.
And if you got it on your own, you know, and then, you know, to roll things in, like, I want to see that. I'd like to see them be like, hey, you know, PlayStation Now is free for the next 4 months or 3 months for everybody to go try PlayStation Now out to then get in there or get into another tier, right, where you're paying for
and
that.
And it makes sense. I mean,
yes.
And they just don't do it very often. Well, it's kind of one of those weird things, but.
Yeah, it's a master. I think Microsoft is a master of none and Sony has been a master of one for a while.
Yeah.
And Sony's knocked out the game side of stuff. They've got a really good fix on the, you know, exclusives, and they've got a great fix on honestly their community. Like I understand Xbox gives Game Pass is included and all that kind of shit, but Sony's really good to their users.
Yeah. Like absolutely.
And they do really great exclusive deals that probably cost a shit ton of money to do, like, you know, the GTA stuff, the $1 million every month. You know, that's not cheap when you do something like that. Like, that's a negotiated thing.
Go take a look at how much shark cards cost. Like, Rockstar's not just going to come off of that for fucking free.
Yeah. And then, you know, they tip, like, honestly, Sony typically has better, you know, monthly free games. Now, obviously, Xbox has Game Pass, but and that's hindered that a lot. But yeah, I think they do what matters, what Microsoft should have focused on first. And now that Sony's focused on that, I think you're going to see Sony offer these services as a plus, no pun intended, and then get into more of the streaming stuff. And I think you're going to see Sony excel over Microsoft because Microsoft still has to get good games.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, Halo's great, I think they, but that's one game.
I think each of them kind of has their strong suit, right? And
yeah.
And not even necessarily just a strong suit, but something they've more focused on than the other things. And they're both playing catch up in some regard. I mean, I have both of them. I have a Series X and I have a PlayStation 5. I love them both, but for different reasons. Like Game Pass is fucking awesome. I love Game Pass, but I also like my PlayStation 5 a lot. I mean, that controller is fantastic and their games are great. And I mean, like I said, Xbox is working on the game side of things, but Sony has the games and now Sony's working on the service side of things and Xbox has the services. So it's kind of this weird point where it's like, you kind of got to pick and choose what's important to you. But I think this Crunchyroll thing, it will be fantastic for them because, I mean, anime is, again, all-time so high huge. Of popularity right now, and people are already paying for Crunchyroll, so if you can get it wrapped up in there for, you know, a couple bucks off a month or whatever, people are going to do it, 100%. Yep.
It's awesome.
Genius.
Moving
but
on.
It is just a rumor, so
yeah, it is just,
just
a
to
rumor.
Clarify, because we are absolutely talking about it like it's a real thing, but it is rumor. It seems highly likely, though.
Yes. Moving on, Niantic has made a new acquisition. So Pokemon Go developer Niantic recently announced that they have purchased Scaniverse, which is an iOS app for scanning objects in high resolution 3D. At the moment, there are not many official details on the acquisition or what they intend to do. You want to know what I think they intend to do?
Make a 3D map of the world and all your Pokestops and the inside of your house and what your couch looks like and...
I think they're going to do so. I have a couple of theories. One, I think for a co-branding thing, yes, they'll team up with someone like a Dunkin' Donuts or something like that as an example.
Absolutely.
And they can scan the inside of the building and the outside, and you have to go in the building to get something. Okay.
Well, for months now, they've also been doing, it's probably been 6 months now, where one of your like challenges that you can do is to actually do like an AR scan of certain areas. And they've been doing that, and you have to walk around and do like a 360 view of this area. So
it helps their maps.
They've been gearing up to do this for a while.
Yeah, and it probably helps the quality of their maps.
Yep.
Makes it easy for them to place things. I also think there's a high possibility that you could be able to scan your Pokemon toys into the game.
Oh, absolutely.
And then be able to use them. I know that we could use RFID and stuff like that, but in a world where everyone's going to AR, it'd be great to scan an item and be like, that's a Pikachu.
You'll probably be able to buy them. I mean, I imagine it's going to be like an amiibo type thing where you have, you know, you buy this certain Niantic fucking Pikachu or Cubone or whatever it may be, and then you can scan it into the game or however it works. But they definitely, I mean, they're kind of showing their cards a little bit right now, but there's a lot of possibilities here. And I mean, Scaniverse is an impressive app for what it is, for sure. And I think this is cool. I mean, it's a cool move for sure.
Awesome.
This one, I wasn't even going to put in here, but it's weird enough that I had to. So there's a new game studio called Eyes Out that has sprouted up. And it just this week is the first I've really even heard of it. But apparently they're already working on something. So this new studio has been formed by Spec Ops The Line's creative director, Corey Davis. And here's where it gets weird. And Nine Inch Nails guitarist Robin Fink. So the studio is focusing on making games with dark atmospheric tones and an emphasis on environmental storytelling, which, I mean, the Nine Inch Nails part of it kind of gave that away. They also have already been working on their first title, which we don't have a name for or anything like that, but it is described as being a single player immersive cosmic horror game. Nine Inch Nails making games.
I'm waiting for the the competitor, which has the guitarist from Puddle of Mud.
Robin Fink, I'm sorry I fucked up your name, but I am curious as hell to see what this studio
is. I'm not knocking it. It's cool. I'm sure, you know, being an artist, he has some cool ideas, especially from a music perspective. I expect it to be great.
Oh, yeah.
And Tool, but everybody's trying to get into games,
band,
dude.
Too. I mean, just from, or Nine Inch Nails, Tool, Nine Inch Nails. Tool. Come on.
Oasis.
Yeah. So,
Kings of Leon.
Well, isn't Nine Inch Nails and Tool the same lead dude?
I'm not a big certain. Tool listener.
Anyway, it's not important. Trent Reznor, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway,
I want to see what it comes of this. It's a horror game, it sounds like, so I will not be playing it. So you'll have to do the review for it. So.
Oh, I'm not.
And we'll rate it out of nails. Does this get 9 nails or does this get 7 nails?
7 nails. Oh God, yeah. I'm down a rabbit hole now. Anyway.
Oh Jesus. Okay, I'm gonna move on. All right. So a famous category of the show or section of the show, delays of the week, as most look forward to. I certainly don't. So Life is Strange Remastered Collection has now been delayed to early 2022 from the original release date of September 30th. So pretty big delay there.
I was so wrong. Definitely not. Oh, the same really? Guy. Sorry.
But is it the case of like how the Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer looks like Will Ferrell and like shit like that, where there's just like a doppelganger?
Not really. I don't know what I was thinking. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, tired. Just for me.
your hot take on the lead singer of Nine Inch Nails and Tool gets
They're actually the same person.
I give it 3 inch nails out of inch nails. And then the other delay is Life is Strange True Colors. The Switch version will not hit the release date of September 10th as it will be on other platforms, but it will still release later this year. So we're getting delays. You know, there's a thing out there called Delta. variant. I personally fly Delta. I don't fly American. But it seems to be causing a massive ruckus across the nation, let alone the world. And, you know, it's delaying things. It's causing things to close down. It's causing people to, you know, lose their minds. It's causing people to... whatever.
I figured it out. I'm not out of the rabbit hole yet.
Oh, my God.
It's Maynard. Where's the James connection? Keenan was in... He's Tool and a Perfect Circle. I mixed Perfect Circle and Nine Inch Nails. Which is, somebody's going to fucking hate me for that, and I'm so sorry.
You know
sorry,
what? But... if you're that big of a fan, and you're pissed at that, I don't
clearly
care.
Not a huge fan of any of those bands, but...
No. I mean, I don't want to hear it, you know?
Right? Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah, the Life is Strange stuff, the Switch versions, man, it just... I love my Switch, I've said it a million times, but God
dare
damn it,
I
it
say
just...
they might be hurt. That's one of their songs.
Oh, God. Yeah. Just like the fans are that I fucked that up. but anyway, this is kind of one of those cases that makes me concerned about the Switch. I mean, I love my Switch, and I've said it many, many times, but the hardware of the Switch is holding back certain versions, and it makes it harder for developers, and people are going to want to stop supporting it if they can't get their games to run well on it.
I mean, boy, let me tell you, too, like, to wait when it was supposed to come out September 10th, and then we're just here and now, boy, oh, boy.
Yeah, they must have
and then
thought
the other
that
one,
they
September
were going to hit
30th,
it,
being like, hey, yeah, it's going to be 2022. Early. Right. Early means January, February, or March. It means Q1.
Yeah, typically.
So it could be 90-plus days past 2022.
Yeah.
It'll be a quarter of the way into the year.
Yeah, which is also 90 days past when it was supposed to release. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know. We've seen a lot of delays and things like that, but the true color is being held back from Switch, and everything else is expected to launch at the right time is concerning to me from a Switch hardware standpoint. Which I mean we have one big Nintendo fan that listened to the show that might argue with me about it tomorrow on Twitter, but I mean it,
what up, Ed?
Hi, Ed. but anyway, so there's going to be a free demo for Tales of Arise on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X/S starting on August 18th. I'm stoked for this. This is one of my games that I'm looking forward to this year, and getting to play a demo and make sure I'm actually going to get into this is fantastic.
I'll play the demo with you.
Will you?
Yeah, I'll play the fucking demo with you.
I'll play the fucking demo.
I'll see if I like it.
You don't have to. We'll see. It has no bearing on me whatsoever.
That's fine. Before we close the show out, I like this new format, by the way, where we do upcoming releases at the end of the show. I think it makes sense. It's like, hey, you're sending people off with like, go buy something, maybe. We don't make money off any of that either, by the way.
We don't make money off of it.
Upcoming releases. So August 13th, Hades is coming to the Xbox Series X and the Xbox One. Paw Patrol Adventure City Calls comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Did you hear about all the crazy shit going behind this Paw Patrol thing?
No. My kids are finally out of Paw Patrol, and I'm stoked.
So there's a Paw Patrol movie, and there's a Paw Patrol video game coming out.
Uh-huh.
And there are people saying that Paw Patrol is an extremely right-wing leaning program, like an extremely right-wing movie.
Because one of the dogs is a cop, and the other is a firefighter?
Firefighter, I guess, yeah.
Okay. Nothing like taking... Paw Patrol and making it into a political
fucking
debate
dogs
for no
who
goddamn
are police
reason.
Officers.
Fucking hell.
Oh my God. Politicize everything, right? So anyways, that comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. So go on and get that, you right wingers.
Oh.
What a fucking stupid world we live in. Scrap Garden comes to Switch. Shadowverse Champions Battle comes to Switch. And Witch Spring 3 Refine, the story of Irudi comes to Switch. August 17th, Greek, that's spelled G-R-E-A-K, Memories of Azure, or Azure, I don't know, probably can't say Azure because Microsoft owns that, comes to PC, PS5, Xbox, Series X, and Switch. Humankind comes to PC and Stadia. Marvel's Avengers, Black Panther, War for Wakanda expansion comes to PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and Stadia. And then Pile Up, Box by Box, comes to PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. On August 18th, you've got Mortal Shell, the Virtuous Cycle DLC, coming to PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, and Xbox One. You got Out of Line coming to Switch, and you've got Skydome coming to PC. Fun fact, Skydome used to be where the name of the Toronto Blue Jays played, but then they Rogers bought it and just called it Rogers Center. Like fucking cucks. August 19th. Mayhem Brawler comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Monster Train First Class comes to Switch. Rims Racing, not to be confused with Ridge Racer, comes PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. And 12 Minutes comes to PC and Xbox One. I didn't mess up a single abbreviation. Boy, oh boy, I'm pumped. And nice. I absolutely stand behind the Skydome comment. Way cooler name than Rogers Center.
Absolutely. My favorite part about this new format is the fact that half the time it works out, you get to read all of these, and that's fantastic for me.
It's fine. I don't mind doing it. I'm okay with it. Any of these catch your eye?
I am extremely excited for Hades because it is also coming to Game Pass, so I finally get to play this game without taking a risk on a roguelike game that I'm not... that's generally not my type of game by any means. And I get to try this out without having to drop $25 on it. And the other one that catches my mind is 12 Minutes, which is a small indie game that looks just fantastic.
I wish people wouldn't name their games crazy names to spell.
Like Witch Spring 3, Refine the Story of Erudy.
Yeah, and just like...
Eatery? I don't know how to say
or like super long shit like Marvel's Avengers Black Panther War for Wakanda expansion. Just call it Marvel's Avengers Black Panther or War for Wakanda.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since it is just a DLC, it makes sense because you got to have that subtitle at the front of, hey, it's Marvel's Avengers, but it's also Black Panther War for Wakanda.
Yeah, there's just,
to some extent,
or
but some
Greek
of these just
Memories of Azure or Azure. I mean, I'm going to say Azure. But Greek is spelled G-R-E-A-K.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. The SEO side of me goes, boy, good luck.
Some of these are just, they're getting out of hand, too, where they're just like some crazy, like, sub-abbreviation of something else and, like, just all over the place. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Just keep naming weird shit. I guess at this point in time, you have to name it weird shit because most of the decent names have been taken. I guess I don't know. I don't make games or name games.
Crazy. What if the Nine Inch Nails guy names every one of his games after a Nine Inch Nails song?
I mean,
okay. Like our first horror game would be Head Like a Hole.
Honestly, from a marketing standpoint, that'd probably be genius.
March of the Pigs, Hurt. The Hand That Feeds, Down In It.
Yep.
The Perfect Drug. Closer. Boy. Oh, man. Anyways, guys, that'll do it for the show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at Diggity Podcast. You can find me on PlayStation. My PSN name is Maple Jeff.
And mine is Luscious Brody. You can also find me on Xbox at Luscious Brody. And if you want that friend code, hit me up.
I also want to shout out real quick to Corey over at Boss Rush because he posted on Twitter that he did not have a, he's trying to figure out a new gamertag name, but they all sounded lame. And I responded in the comments, obviously with something useful. And I put Limp Brisket.
That poor guy.
Ever since I posted a GIF.
Ever Corey? Since Lollapalooza, everybody's made the connection. Like, hey,
yeah. Well, that's because I did that. I pointed that out.
Yeah, I've noticed it before because he always wears the backwards MLB hat.
Yeah, Nick made a tweet and it was this Limp Bizkit like moving a GIF, and I wrote, I added, I'm like, at Corey, question mark. And then everyone went, holy shit.
Incredible. Fred Durst.
Looks Corey. Just like him.
Have you ever seen him in the same place at the same time? Just saying.
That's right, yeah. So I'm really hoping he uses Limp Bizkit.
Bet he won't. He doesn't seem to like it very much. He never responds to any of it. Sorry, Corey.
It's the right thing to do. I mean, if you're a Southern guy, absolutely Limp Bizkit.
That's actually fantastic.
You know, like here in Texas, really like you love brisket, you know?
Yeah.
Be a big deal. Anyways, guys, thanks for watching. We'll see you guys later. See you next week for a new version of Diggity or new episode of Diggity. And get out there, play some games. And I assure you, it's just a film about dogs being EMS workers and stupid shit. See ya.